Harper, and I'll change the big one. The ten now they're going to meet now. Look.
I don't know what had happened if we left you alone for a while, Aunt
Mother.
You'd have changed.
They're just coming round at a curve and they're going to meet.
Yes, the two lines come very close together, but they won't quite meet.
You sure?
Well, I'm willing to suggest it, but if you really think they will,
they've just come close together.
And going side by side now, or neck and neck, or engine and engine, whatever you like to call it. Now, the one on the left is going to Johnsonville.
You know, the railway station is quite empty.
Oh, no, there's still one or two more. You'll soon see some more coming in. Is that one we saw at Narangan? Aunt Molly will be in very shortly. She can't be far away now. And there's a spare engine just shooting out, too.
What's
now
that going to do?
Well, you see the red light at the end of that platform. Well,
you
watch.
Change it.
It'll change when that engine gets up near the top. At least not until the train has just gone out. It's got well out of the station. But if you watch, it will. Oh, I thought it was a fire brigade. Sounded just like it.
Haven't changed yet, Jumbo.
No, yes, can you see one with a yellow light at the bottom?
Yes,
where that other engine,
yes.
That means that the engine can go at a slow speed. It means that the line is clear for a little while, but there's something else on the line and it's got to go quite slowly.
You could run a railway station yourself, couldn't you, Jumbo?
Oh, well, I don't know about that. We could always try, aren't we? How about you suggesting to Mr. Stewart sometime that he leaves me in charge for a day and see what happens?
I don't think Mr. Mackley would like it. He knows you better.
Oh, well... Still, I do. There you are. The other one's changed over to the yellow one, Molly. You see, and that engine can go out now to the engine shed.
Oh, I see. Well, I think you better call those birthdays before all the trains go, Jumbo.
Well, there was Marjorie Cornwall of Ogletown. We were talking to you, weren't we, Marjorie? It's your 10th birthday. We do wish you many happy returns today. You've been a wonderful radio cousin, haven't you? And now...
Perhaps you will think this picture is rather startling in its brilliant colour. Most of you may think that ice always looks white, but these icebergs are bright blue in colour. They rise from a dark blue sea. A band of green is behind the bergs in front of pale lavender hills. The sky is grey with white clouds drifting across it. Ice takes on the most wonderful colours through the sun shining upon it. Even when you see a frost in your garden in the wintertime, you will see blues and greens and sparkling colors, and so you will be able to understand the brightness of these bergs. It might be rather difficult to believe, but just think of the color in the frost and how much deeper it would be in great masses. These icebergs present the strangest and most picturesque forms. They are sometimes miles in length and rise to a height of thousands of feet above water. They are actually more beneath the water than above it, and so are a great menace to shipping. In fact, all ships are in danger when in the vicinity of icebergs.
Oh, making me shiver now, Aunt Molly. You know, I really think they are dangerous things because, I don't know about you, Aunt Molly, but I've sometimes come across people like that. They give you the cold shoulder and let you think
they're
an iceberg.
Oh, no, Jumbo, they wouldn't. You'd never meet an iceberg in a person, not in a human being.
Actually, they are a menace when they float down to the Gulf of St. Lawrence, where the currents take them to the mouth of the river near Quebec. Great disasters have happened even to the largest Atlantic liners. You may have heard of the sinking of the Titanic, with the loss of many lives. I wonder if Jumbo knows about Greenland. I know you children do.
Oh, yes, Mr. Gore, I've heard about Greenland. In fact, I remember hearing something about it. Well, I don't know if you heard. Do you remember when you once asked for a competition on the different kinds of people who lived in these foreign lands, and we asked the people of Radio Land what kind of people lived in Greenland, and one little boy said, Eskimoses, and they were God's frozen people.
Yes, I remember about that, Jumbo.
Greenland is an island mainly in the Arctic Circle.
Say 2YC Wellington, broadcasting on relay from the National Art Gallery. Good evening, Jumbo. I want to introduce Mr. Gore to you.
Oh, how do you do, Aunt Molly and everybody in Radio Land? Good evening, Mr. Gore.
You know Mr. Gore?
Jumbo. Yes, I've met him before when we've been up at the National Gallery.
Well, do you know why I brought him here today?
Why you brought him here?
Yes.
Yes, of course I do.
Why?
To help me describe all the pictures which are now on exhibition up at the Art Gallery, and they are Canadian pictures this time, aren't they, Mr. Gore?
That is so.
It's very good of you to give up your time to help Jumbo out on this particular matter, because, you know, I like pictures, but mostly moving pictures, and I don't suppose you'd like me to move any of these pictures. So if you would just give us your time now, we would be very grateful indeed.
Aunt Molly has told you that you are to listen to a description of the Canadian pictures on exhibition at the National Gallery. An exhibition of this kind allows you to see something of another country, of its mountains, great rivers, ice-bound seacoast, its mining towns, and its native art. Many of the pictures show you Canada under snow, for in the wintertime, Canada is extremely cold, the temperature being below zero. How would you like to live there? The men and women wear coats either of fur or fur-lined. Horses and other animals wear rugs. In our country, it is most unusual to see any of the farm animals wearing covers, because New Zealand has a very equable climate. Sledges and sleighs are used for being better able to go across the surface of the snow. Wheels would sink into the snow and so make it difficult for horses to pull carts about.
Yes, but what about elephants, Mr. Gore? Don't you use elephants over in Canada for plunging through the snow? You know, I've often heard of white elephants, and I should think they'd be very useful in the snow country.
No, I haven't heard of any elephants being in Canada.
I don't think they like the cold as much as that, Jumbo. They don't like the hot places.
Well, there may be something in that.
Canada has an extremely cold climate. In the summer, it is very hot. The great prairies are then turned into miles of golden colour, which is actually the ripening wheat. For Canada grows great crops of wheat. It is one of her staple products. There is no comparison in the wheat-growing districts of New Zealand, as the areas sown are so large in these northern parts of the continent of North America, which is Canada. And so the painters of this country have much to choose from when they want to paint. Snow scenes, the ripening wheat fields, the lakes, rivers, mountains covered in tall pine trees, sea coast, and the industrial towns. There are many towns which have grown with the industry which the natural products provide.
Mr. Gore, I think that's extremely interesting, and I suppose all these pictures really represent most of the things that you've been telling the little people about. Well, I would like you, if you would, to describe some of these pictures to them, and they'll be able to get an idea of what this wonderful country is like.
Thank you, Jumbo. I should like to do that. Now, children, when you come to the gallery, either with your school or your parents or alone, you will perhaps see the very ones which I have told you about.
That will make it very much more interesting when they know something about the pictures, and when they actually come up here and see them here on the wall, on the wall, on the wall.